That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for rescuing me, dear Lord. God, you're the great God and our Savior, and we worship you this morning, dear Lord. We love you and praise you and thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help, you tell me. We'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Free of charge. Brother Dave, how about praying for us again? In this First Bank of Pews, Brother Matthew wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a king, and his book begins in Bethlehem, is right. Down through here, Brother Mark wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant, is right, and his book begins in Bethlehem, is right. Down through here, Brother Luke wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, is right. Where's his book start? Bethlehem is right. Over here, Brother John wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Says over and over and over again that He's God. Where's his book start? In the beginning, where else? In the bosom, where everything's close together. Open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. What book are we in? John, what chapter? 13's right. What verse? That's right, 34. 34. We quit on 34, and Brother Jared took off on it again Sunday night. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Because there's going to be prayer requests of members of the body that lose members of the body. And that we need to love one another. They're going to need us. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And Brother Jared read this poem. I'm going to read it again because you might not have been there Sunday night. And on top of it, I need all the help I can get. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. That's what you did this morning. You've been praying for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for Thee must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain, buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee. Charles Meigs. Now in chapter 13, the title was The Talk in the Upper Room. And then here where we are, in chapter 31, the rest of the chapter, 34, down through all the way through chapter 14, the title is going to be The Burden of the Talk in the Upper Room. The Burden of the Talk in the Upper Room. And this path of obedience that the Lord had followed down through here in 31, let's back up to 31, a little bit of review here. Therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified with Him. If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself, and shall straightway glorify Him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, the path of obedience had led our darling Savior down through to the Garden of Gethsemane, down through Gabbatha, the judgment hall, the judgment seat, the pavement, through Golgotha, the place of the skull, to the grave, to glory, and back to God. He went back home or that's where he's headed. He started out toward home. He said, "You go ahead, Judas. It's time. I'm ready. I'm going to go home." He said, "Love is the new law, not ritual." Not ritual. 34 again. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." That's easy, isn't it? There could be no easier commandment than that right there. It's easy to love y'all. It's easy. It's easy. "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." A new motive. A new motive here. 35. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." A doctor had a little girl, and he asked that little girl, he said, "How come everybody loves you so much?" She said, "I don't know. Do you think it's because I love everybody?" That might be why. That's going to help me a lot. It's going to help me a lot. See, the Lord's not interested in my gifts. He's not interested in miracles. He can do miracles. He's not interested in my training, where I went to school, how many degrees. He's not interested in what I've attained. If I can swim across the English Channel, he doesn't care about that. He wants to know. He wants to know if I love. If I love. You, little kids, they don't want to know. They don't care if they ride in a Pontiac or a Cadillac. They want to know you love them. They don't care if it's a brick house or a tent. They don't care. They want to know you love them. Let's look at it in John 15. "This is my commandment." I think Brother Jared told us it's not a suggestion. It's a brand new commandment. "It's my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You know, if you give someone an hour, you're giving them an hour of your life. You might not be able to give them your whole life, but you can give them an hour sometimes. Sometimes you can, sometimes a half hour. I think Brother Jared read most of these verses, but that's just the Lord's, all I know. 1 John. 1 John 3. 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. For far as I can see, He did it all for me." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. Like I say, sometimes it's an hour at a time. You might not line up and get shot. You might not get hanged. But maybe you give an hour. Maybe I could give an hour somewhere. Chapter 4, 1 John 4. Verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God." It's nothing that I would love Him after all He did for me, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Verse 20, "If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Back to John 13 now, verse 36. "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now." Now, Peter didn't know how soon it was going to be, but real soon he is going to follow him. History says that Simon Peter asked to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like our Lord. And it's going to be real soon for Peter. Might be real soon for us. We might go home before we get home. but thou shalt follow me afterwards. He didn't tell Peter where he was going. Let's look at it in 21 here, John 21. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. Following's easy. The Lord had the hard part, blazing the trail. After Calvary, everything's easy. 2 Peter. Now, Peter's realized it, and he says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Back to John 13:37. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. He didn't quite have a handle on it yet. 38, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. What he's saying is he's coming back. He's still coming. He's still coming. We're going to see more of it here in chapter 14, down through verse 6 anyway. But the world will hear gossip before it'll hear the gospel. It'll hear gossip before it'll hear the gospel. Let's look at 14. Famous chapter. The first six verses are famous chapter. Famous verses. You might have them memorized. John 14, we see a new peace. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not is what he says through and through the Old Testament. Not long. It's not going to be long. There's some dark days ahead. We need to have faith in Christ. Now, faith in my old pickup won't get me home. I'm going to have to exercise the faith. I'm going to have to get in it. I'm going to have to turn the key. I'm going to have to put it in gear or I'm not going anywhere. I need to activate my faith. I need to step out on it. I need to get on the elevator. We used there a while back, that example. I need to commit myself to the pickup. I need to commit myself to the Lord. In Christ, to trust Him. Faith in Christ is the only cure for a troubled heart. The Lord was thinking about us on the way to the cross. On the way to the cross, He's thinking about Rick being made Brother Rick and getting put in the family. What could I do to help Rick? That's what He's thinking about. He's thinking about us on the way to the cross. And we're supposed to end up with this new peace. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. No use me and the Lord both worrying about it. He done took care of it. Verse 2 is a new place. It's a homey place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's His home. Matter of fact, where He's at is home. That's what's going to make it home. It's going to be far better. Far better. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. the universe is infinite, but the whole human race is not worth saving. All of us added together is not worth saving. But what the Lord said, I'm going to do it anyway. He loved us anyway. He didn't die for us when we were friends. He died for us when we were still yet enemies. That's when He died for us. Actually, He came and digged us out of the pit. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. See, His entire reputation's on the line. Believe Him or not, it's the same either way. It's true either way. I'm going to go ahead and believe Him. I'm going to go ahead and believe Him. Move out on it. I'm going to commit myself to Him. I'm going to get in. I'm going to turn the key. I'm going to put it in gear. I'm going home. I figured out a long time ago, the last time Jared was up here, he taught us eternal security. I learned that about a year after I got saved. And I figured out I was going home. And I said, well, I'm just going to enjoy the trip. I'm going to enjoy the trip. I'm going anyway. Why not enjoy the trip? We're going to go. Might as well enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. The new pledge in verse 3. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Any questions on that? I will come again. I told you He's still coming. He's still coming. He's telling them, I'm coming back. Don't worry. Until then, you need to love one another. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The day the Lord comes back, sets up His throne here on the earth, that'll be the kingdom of heaven. Wherever He is, that's what's going to make it heaven. There's some others I want to see. Might be a million years. I don't know. I got a daddy over there I want to see. But what will make it heaven is that Jesus will be there. He is heaven. A bit of heaven moved in your heart when you got saved. The Spirit of Jesus moved in your heart. When He comes back, it's going to be like a magnet, like that magnet drawing that metal up. And you're going to go up. You're going to go up. It won't be, I'll fly away. You don't have wings, but you're going up. He's going to draw you up. He's going to take you. We're going home. We're going home. There was on this new piece, there was a farmer who needed a hired hand, and he went downtown and told him he needed a hired hand, and nobody was interested. They was all busy. And finally, one guy said, I'll take it. He said, well, what's going to qualify you to work on the farm? He said, you done anything like that before? You ever baled hay or anything? He said, I can sleep at night. He said, what? He said, I can sleep at night. Well, it was the only choice he had, so he took him home. There in a few weeks, there's a big thunderstorm. And the farmer was awake. And he couldn't get the hired hand awake. He shook him, couldn't get him woke up. And he went out to check everything. And all the animals were in the barn. The door was locked. The tractor was under the shed. The hay was covered up. And he was prepared. So he could sleep all night. That's the kind of farming he did. He was prepared. We need to be prepared. I mean, you can visit a psychiatrist or a psychic, crystal ball if you want to. But you need the Lord. Need right here will trump all that. Only God knows the future. Only God. Philippians 1:23. This is Paul talking. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Well, better than what, Brother Rick? Well, anything you can think of. Better than a Chevrolet, better than a brick house, better than an IRA, better than a savings account, better than gold and silver, better than a Remington, better than a Zebco, better than anything. There was a man named Benjamin Disraeli. He won a seat in Congress in London, the British House of Parliament. And he wasn't very well liked. He was Jewish. They didn't care much for him. And the first speech he got up to make, they booed him down. They were booed and made a bunch of noise, shouted him down. He couldn't say anything. He said, "I'm going to sit down." He said, "But you'll hear from me later. I'm coming back." The Lord Jesus sat down, but he's coming back. He's coming back. We set him down. They set him down the first time, but he's coming back. He's coming back. There was a missionary to Africa, went as far in the jungle as anyone had ever went. And he told the chief of that tribe, he said, "I want to go further." He said, "I want to go where no white man's ever been. I want to go to the next village." He said, I need a guide." And he called a great old big tall native there, had an axe, big broadhead axe in his hand. And he said, "This guy wants to go to your village where you came from." And they agreed they'd leave in the morning. And they started off through the jungle. Sometimes there was a path. Sometimes there wasn't a path. They traveled till evening. And he said, "God, are you sure that this is the right way?" He said, the black guy, the native, stood up real tall. He said, "Look, before I came, there was no way." He said, "I am the way." He said, "You see those blazes on the tree? I made those. I am the way. Jesus is the way. Before him, there was no other way. He done blazed the trail. And all we get to do is follow. Just follow him." Let's try John 14:4 here. "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." In this upper room, they're still in the upper room, you know. And the talk in the upper room. And flesh is demanding his pound. Sin wants his pound of flesh off the Lord. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" The next verse almost everyone has memorized. We need to thank Thomas for asking the question. We need to thank him for the great verse that follows. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way." Look, if you need to be saved this morning, he's the way. He said, "I am the truth." If you want to be sure about it, like Brother Jared was telling us about, hey, he's the truth. He's the truth. "And I am the life." If you want to be satisfied this morning, if you want to have the abundant life, he's it. Jesus is it. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's dogmatic. It's exact. It's 2 + 2 = 4. I don't want to go where 2 + 2 = 3 or 5. I'm not interested in this modern man. I want the doctor to be specific and exact. I want the banker to be exact when he figures up what I owe him. And the Lord's exact. It's Jesus. It's not Jesus plus something. It's Jesus. It's not Jesus plus getting baptized. It's not Jesus plus joining the church. No, no. It's not Jesus plus being good. No, no, no. It's just him. A little bit narrow-minded. Illumination through the Word is how we get it. Psalm 119. This book's alive. Psalm 119, 105. Brother Greg got him a new Bible there a while back, but I'm always asking him, "Have you read it yet?" He said, "Not all of it." Well, when he reads all of it, I'm just going to tell him, "Go again." See, that thing's alive. There's something new on every page. And there's something not just new, but it's in there for Rick. There's something just for me on every page. 109, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." get illuminated, some illumination. There was regeneration through the blood. Let's look at that, 1 John 1:7. Have you been regenerated? Have you been rescued? Have you been regenerated? 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Regeneration. Have you been regenerated? Have you been made alive, raised from the dead? Then there's reconciliation. Illumination through the Word of God. Regeneration through the blood. Reconciliation through the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, there's a lot more. I'm already excited about our next book's Romans. There's a lot more than this. Maybe we'll learn some more details then. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The Lord Jesus Christ hung between heaven and earth. He got a hold of God with one hand and Rick with the other. And He said, come on, couldn't we work things out? Couldn't we make up? Couldn't we get back together? Couldn't we be reconciled? And a man can be reconciled to God. Reconciled, reconciled. If you want to be saved, He's the way, singular, one way. One way. One way. Proverbs 4:19. One book, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now the way of the wicked is varied. Varied. But there's only one way. There's only one way a true-false question is true. There's many ways it's false. If the capitalization's wrong, punctuation, spelling, dates, time, only one way it's true. This is it right here. This is it. A man's way is false. Proverbs 16:25. All else is hell. There's one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. It's not me, it's not the Baptist, not being good, not behavior. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right. When I was a kid, I thought on judgment day, the Lord's going to put my good works over here, my bad works over here in the scale, see which one outweighs the other. That's not in the Bible. No, we're all like this. See, the devil's religion and TV religion is good people go to hell. I'm sorry. Good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. The main problem with that is there's no good people. 16:25. There's a way to see all that seems right. It seems right. One big philosopher said there's a spark of goodness in all men. All you got to do is fan it, it'll come alive. No, no, no. That's not in the Bible. There's not a spark of goodness in you or me or all of us added together. There's not a spark of goodness. We're sinners. We fail. There was a big fall. It was heard around the world. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. It seems right. It sounds good. The televangelist, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's one way. It's Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. In Christ's name, amen.